Good morning, everyone. Let me give you a warm welcome to church this morning. It's good to see all of you out. Today is our all-age service, so the boys and girls will be staying in right throughout the service. And also today, because it's all our all-age service, there will be tea and coffee in the minor hall afterwards. And so we would encourage you to stay for that. You've been given the weekly announcement sheet. Let me just draw your attention to some items. As you can see, since you've come into church, we have been showing on the screens a little video giving you some information about the United Appeal Fund of the Presbyterian Church. The United Appeal goes to fund so much of our work here at home and overseas. And each congregation is asked to contribute to that and are given a target of honour. And as you can see from the announcement sheet, our target of honour for this year is £10,400. We collect most of the money for the United Appeal from the little purple envelopes that you have in your collection or your envelope box. And you will see in both vestibules there's a little chart telling you how much we have raised already and how much we have still to raise. And so we would encourage your giving to the United Appeal. It does fantastic work here at home and also overseas. And we'll be giving you some leaflets, I think, at the end. Wilfred, no? Yes? We'll be giving you some leaflets at the end, just highlighting some of the work of the United Appeal. So again, we encourage your support for that. Then you have just a list of all that's happening in the congregation over the next week and the next few weeks. Just want to draw your attention again to our Tier Fund table quiz, which will be held on Saturday the 16th of November at 7:30. It's a team of 4 to 6 people. If you haven't got a team, just come and we'll put you on a team. And it will be £5 per person, including supper. And this will go towards supporting the work of Tier Fund. Then just to say to you that the Word for Today booklets are also available in the vestibules and you can pick them up. And then an announcement for Friday night, the 15th of November. The Ards Voice Community Choir are singing in St. Mark's Church at 7:30 on that evening. The aim of the concert is to raise funds for Ards Hospital. The cost is £5, and that includes supper. And you can get tickets from Roma here, or you can pay at the door. So we simply remind you of that as well. And then just the last announcement is to remind you of the service this evening at 7 o'clock, which will be conducted by myself. And I have done a minister finally when it wasn't a finally. One more. You will be aware, I hope, that next week is Remembrance Sunday. The parade, the British Legion parade, will be coming here to First Newton Ards next Sunday. So we ask those of you who perhaps are able to sit in the gallery, just to sit in the gallery, so to make room for all those who will come to the parade. So you'll be glad to know that's the last of the announcements. I want to begin this morning and ask the boys and girls a question. It's a question about who in the Bible is very famous and known because of their coat. Ooh, anybody know? Right, James, you had your hands up first. Shout loud because I'm deaf. Say again. Good lad, that's right, Joseph. Joseph. Now, Joseph had a special coat. Some people think that it was a multicolored coat. We don't really know if that's the case or not. But he had a very special coat. And today in our all-age service, We're going to be thinking about the story of Joseph and what it might mean for us. So that's the theme for our service today. But let's come together and worship God as we stand together to sing firstly Hosanna, and then we continue standing as we sing Here I Am to worship. Let's stand together to praise God.
I see the flower.
And we're going to continue to worship God together through prayer. And our prayers are going to be led this morning for us by Frida.
Let us pray. Our God in heaven, faithful and so unchanging, thank you for bringing us this morning to this your house of prayer to worship, praise, and give you thanks for making us your children in the family of God. Only by your grace and love are we here and can call you Abba, Father, knowing that you watch over and care for us as fathers do. You strengthen and comfort us in our difficult and anxious times. You hear us when we cry out again and again and carry us through to the better times. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for our own homes and families and the joy of living in shared love and devotion. For faithful family friends who bring so much into our lives. We thank you for every church family represented here, for their support and loving care in one another's time of need. We remember and pray for those members of our church who are no longer able to share in our weekly worship through illness or declining years. Those at home, in hospital or nursing home, we pray for them to know loving kindness, comfort, and peace at this time in their lives, and that we will remember whoever they are and wherever they are, that they are still part of this church family and to keep them in our prayers. Father God, we ask your blessing on the children and youth in our congregation, that they too will know the nurturing and love from Sunday school, Bible class and organization leaders to steer them to love and put their trust in you and for all of us to be an example to them. We remember and pray for those who do not have family, those who are displaced and homeless, those rejected by family, that they will find you, Lord, and know they are no longer alone. Watch over them, protect them from all harm, and provide for them. And lead us to do our part by giving and sharing what we have, especially as the Advent time approaches, and we were given such the greatest gift of all. For all forms of family life, we bring you our thankful praise and pray in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Frida. Now, all of us in church enjoy playing games. And I was thinking, boys and girls, about the talk this morning, and I was thinking about when I was growing up, what were some of my favorite card games? You'd like to tell me what some of your favorite card games are. Yes, Julia. Shout out now, nice and loud.
Monopoly,
yeah. Monopoly? I got Monopoly, didn't I? Didn't get the other bit, but got Monopoly, yes. Any others? Nobody else going to say? All right, James, shout.
Uno.
Uno. Right, Grace. Say that again. Go Fish, yes. That's a new one. That's an old one. That's a new one, but it really is an old one. But yes, look, here's some of the ones that I used to enjoy playing when I was growing up. Snap. You ever played Snap? Snap was great. You had to say it quick so that you got the cards. Or Uno, as James has said, or Old Maid. And of course, the whole point with Old Maid was that you weren't to be left with the Old Maid card. And another form of that is donkey. Another one that we used to play is called Happy Families. And the cards were all dealt out, and there were different families among the cards, and you had to try and get a family together, whether it was Mr. Baker and Mrs. Baker, and Junior Daughter Baker and Junior Son Baker, or it was Mr. Butcher and Mrs. You had to get the families together, and it was called Happy Families. Well, in church today, we're going to be thinking about a family. And the man who was in charge of this family was a man that we talked about in our last family service, and his name was Jacob. Now, Jacob didn't come from a very happy family. His parents weren't very wise. They had favorites. And so Isaac, his father, his favorite was Jacob's brother Esau. But his mum, Rebekah, her favorite was Jacob. And it wasn't a very happy family. And we discovered the last time that Jacob wasn't a very nice person. He sort of cheated and conned his brother Isaac out of his inheritance. And Esau wasn't too pleased. And so Jacob had to run away from home. And last time we saw how God gave Jacob a dream. And he made a great promise to Jacob that he was going to make his descendants a great nation, and that God would be with him, and that he would bring him back to his own home again. And when we take up the story, Jacob is now a very old man. He's even older than me. And not only that, but his family is now big. He has 12 strapping sons. And God has brought him back to his homeland. And not only that, but God has made it possible for him and his brother Esau to be friends again. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that Jacob would have learnt from his experience. He had an unhappy home because there were favorites in his home. And you would have thought that Jacob wouldn't have had any favorites, wouldn't you? But you would be wrong. Jacob did have a favorite son. And his name, as we learnt at the beginning, was Joseph. And when we think of Joseph, we think of the special coat that he has. And people think that it had lots and lots of different colors. Well, everyone in church this morning, I'm going to be telling the story of Jacob and Joseph. And I'm going to use the colors from his coat. And I want you to be listening so carefully and see if you can count, so you'll need your fingers as well, the different colors that I use in talking about this. Okay? And so we begin by saying that really Joseph was Jacob's blue-eyed boy. He was his favorite. And as far as Jacob was concerned, Joseph was as good as gold. He couldn't do anything wrong. And so when Joseph came with stories about his brothers and the things that they did wrong, Jacob always believed him. And that made his brothers green with envy. They couldn't understand why their father loved Joseph more than he loved them. And then, one day, out of the blue, God gave Joseph a dream. And in the dream, there were 12 sheaves of corn, like a sheaf of corn for each brother. And Joseph said to the brothers, all your sheaves of corn bow down to my sheaf of corn. In other words, there's a day coming when you are all going to bow down to me. And the brothers, whew, they were red with rage. They were so angry when he said that. And then the next day, God gave Joseph another dream. And in this dream, there was the sun, and there was the moon, and there was 11 stars, and they all bowed down to Joseph. And of course, that meant that not only were the brothers, but Joseph's mom and dad going to bow down to him. Well, that was the end as far as the brothers were concerned. Not only were they red with rage, they actually went purple with rage. They were so, so cross. And then one day, Jacob decided that he would send Joseph to find his brothers and to send them a message because the brothers were out looking after the sheep. And when the brothers saw Joseph coming, they thought, this is a golden opportunity for us. We can get rid of him. And so they took off his coat and they threw him in the pit. And you can imagine, when they did that, Joseph just went as white as a ghost. And the brothers thought about killing him. But in the end, they decided that they would sell him to some people who were passing by as a slave. And that meant that they would get rid of him and they'd get money for it. And when they thought about that, they were just tickled pink. Isn't this terrific? They thought to themselves. But then after they had done that, they thought to themselves, well, what are we going to tell Joseph's father? What are we going to tell Jacob? What happened to Joseph? And they were too yellow-bellied to tell the truth. And so instead, they told him a white lie. They covered the coat in blood, the blood of an animal, and they ripped it, and they told him that an animal must have eaten Joseph. And Jacob was just so distraught. He went into a really, really black mood. And his other sons couldn't do anything to cheer him up. Now, how many colors did I mention in the story? And I repeated some of them, so you're not allowed repeats. Okay, Julia, is you shout? No. Almost right. No. No. 10. Well done. There are 10 different colors. And if you want proof of that, you come and see me at the end. And I will tell you what the 10 different colors were. Now, that's a fantastic story. But out of this fantastic story, we're meant to learn a few things. And the first thing that we're meant to learn about this, and this is really good news. And the really good news is this, first of all, boys and girls, even though sometimes people are really foolish, even though sometimes moms and dads are really foolish, God doesn't have any favorites. He loves each one of us just the same. And there's not one of us is more special to him than another. And do you know the reason why we know that? The reason we know it is that Jesus died on the cross for every single one of us. And so here's the good news. God loves every one of us. He doesn't have any favorites. And here's, that's really good news, but there's even better good news. And the better good news is this, that God's love for us doesn't depend on what we do. You know, sometimes we think, gosh, I've got to earn God's love by what I do. And if I'm really good, maybe he'll love me, but if I mess up, he's gonna come down on me and punish me. But it's not that way with God. God's love doesn't depend on what we do. It's his gift to us. Now, we have to receive the gift. And the way that we receive the gift is by surrendering our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And putting him first in our lives. But his love for us doesn't depend on what we do. It's his gift to us. And here's the last thing. Even when we mess up, God still watches over us. Joseph messed up. Jacob messed up. His brothers messed up. But did God put them to one side and say, don't want to be interested in you anymore? No, he didn't. And we're going to continue the story and discover how God worked through this messed up family to do his purposes in the world. And you know, sometimes you think, God wouldn't be interested in me because, gosh, I've messed up. You know, I've messed up really badly in the past. Or maybe growing up, you know, I haven't been terribly religious. But you see, God's love isn't dependent on what we do. It's his gift to us in his Son. And he wants us to know that love. But we can't know that love apart from Jesus. And apart from opening our hearts to him. Okay, we're going to continue the story in a little while, but we're going to sing now, and we're going to sing two pieces. The first one is a new one. It's a lovely one, and it's quite easy to learn. It's called Yet Not I. And I'm not sure what way we're going to do this, Jenny. I have to tell you, that's the first time Jenny has ever said that to me in all her years, from her youngest years, whatever way you like. Okay, is there a... Okay, so we'll sing, we'll keep seated, we'll let the praise group sing the first verse, and then we'll all stand and we'll go back to the first verse, sing it through, again, as I always say to you, just sing along. Don't worry about singing wrong notes. You'll be in good company. And we'll sing this lovely piece about what Jesus has done for us. And then we'll continue standing as we sing You Never Let Go. Okay, we're going to watch a little video now, and we're going to see the next part of the story of Joseph. And then following the little video, if the boys and girls would like to come up to the front, Fiona is going to speak to you.
This is Joseph, who was the son of Israel and Rachel. But he had 11 brothers who hated him and sold him into slavery. After being put in jail, Joseph told of the future of Egypt when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And Joseph found favor with the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh made Joseph a leader in his kingdom. Just as Joseph had told the Pharaoh, Egypt had 7 years of abundance. Then the 7 years of abundance came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had said. But the Egyptians had food to eat because Joseph had planned for the famine. There was famine in all the other lands, and many came to Joseph to buy food. There was even a famine in the land that Joseph came from. So when Israel heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent his sons to buy some. But Israel did not send Benjamin with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. When Joseph's brothers came to him, Joseph recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger. So Joseph decided to test his brothers. He had his interpreter tell them to send for Benjamin, who had stayed home. And then he threw his brothers in jail for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph let all but one of the brothers take grain to their starving households with the instruction to bring Benjamin back. But Joseph provided for his brothers' journey and gave them grain and silver. The brothers did exactly as Joseph instructed, as they were scared that God was punishing them for what they had done to Joseph so many years before. They traveled home to their father's house, then back to Egypt. Now that he had seen that they brought Benjamin, Joseph was overwhelmed, so he released the brother who was still in prison. But Joseph decided to play one more trick on his brothers. He sent the brothers away but told his servant to hide his silver cup in Benjamin's bag. Then Joseph told the servant to go after the brothers and retrieve the cup. The brothers hadn't traveled far before the servant stopped them and accused them of stealing the cup. Joseph could no longer control himself before his attendants. He made them leave so he could be alone with his brothers. And he told his brothers who he really was. Ta-da! He told them of his life and all he had experienced, and he forgave them for what they had done. God was with Joseph and took care of him and showed him favor.
Girls, you can come up to the front now.
If you're sitting, I'm going to sit too. I see Jim doing this on Sunday morning, it's much more comfortable. Now, I did have a slight panic when Jim started talking because I thought he was going to steal my entire story. But he left it in a bit of a cliffhanger and he left it for me then to take over. So I can turn over the first page in my book because I don't need to recap all that bit because I'm sure you were all listening to him. But I'm going to go on to the part in this story where Joseph's brothers decided to sell him to the people going to Egypt. And he was sold as a slave to those people. Does anybody know the name of that person who... James?
Potiphar.
Potiphar, that's right. And Potiphar was an assistant to the Pharaoh of Egypt. But Potiphar saw that Joseph was good, and he put him in charge of everything that he owned. But somebody wasn't too happy about that. Who wasn't happy? Does anybody remember? Matthew? Potiphar's wife wasn't happy. And she told a lie about Joseph, didn't she? And Potiphar had Joseph put into jail for that lie, isn't that right? But whenever Joseph was in jail, God was with him in jail. God never left him. He was there with him. And the prison warden saw that Joseph was good, and he put him in charge of the prisoners in the jail. And then through his time in jail, one of Pharaoh's cupbearers had a dream, and he then went to Joseph to, because he knew Joseph could maybe explain this dream to him. And Joseph said yes. He says, "You're going to be let out of prison, and but I want to ask you a favour." He says, "When you go out of prison," he says, "I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh about me." So. Do you think he did that?
Yeah.
When he went out, do you think he went and told him? Do you think so, Grace?
Yeah.
He didn't. The cupbearer very quickly forgot what Joseph done, and he didn't tell Pharaoh about it. So Joseph stayed in jail for another 2 years. Until a time then when Pharaoh had a dream, and nobody could explain to Pharaoh what his dream was about. Then the cupbearer remembered. And he remembered that Joseph was able to tell dreams, so Pharaoh ordered for Joseph to come to him. And he said to Joseph, he says, "Can you tell me, can you understand my dream?" But Joseph was very faithful, and Joseph says, "I can't myself, but God helps me." So Joseph went on to explain about his dream that Pharaoh had had, and he says, "Well, God is sending you a warning. God is telling you that there is going to be 7 years where nothing is going to grow in this land." So Pharaoh's like, "Ooh, what are we going to do here?" But he says, but he's also telling you good news in that for the 7 years beforehand, there's going to be a good crop. And in that time, you can save some of your harvest and you can set it aside for the 7 years when there's very little. So Pharaoh believed him and he put him in charge of Egypt. The people came from all over for food in those 7 years. And do you know who came? Sort of saw a bit of that in the video as well.
His brothers,
they did. But you know what? They didn't recognise Joseph because it had been about 10 years when they'd seen Joseph. And the last person they thought was going to happen was Joseph. But when they saw him and they saw Joseph giving out food, do you know what they did to him? Anybody remember, Grace? They bowed down to him. And does anybody remember at another time that Joseph had a thought about this? Peter? He did. He dreamed way, way back long, long, long ago, didn't he? Joseph had that dream that the sheaves of corn, isn't that right, were bowing down to him. And then what was the next one that he had? James.
Where the sun, the moon and the stars bowed down to him.
That's right. And how many stars was there?
11.
Well done for the 11 brothers. That's right. So Joseph told his brothers that who he was. And what do you think the brothers did? Grace.
Hugged him.
Well, I think at the start they were a bit sort of like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? I mean, this was a man who we plotted to kill and then sold him. How can we ask this man for help? But you know what? Joseph had a very loving heart and a very forgiving heart. And Joseph turned around and he says, come here, he says, I am your brother, yes, the one that you sold. But do not worry. Do not be afraid. Don't be angry with yourselves, because God had a plan. And God's plan was to put me here to save the people from starving. And you know, one thing that struck me throughout this whole story was how much Joseph trusted God. Even though it must have been very, very frightening. I mean, he was sold from his family, he was put away. But through it all, he trusted God, and he trusted that God has plan, and God's plan was the big plan. And he knew that if he followed him, that that would all work out right. And you know, that same God is the same God who we can trust today and who is there for each one of us, whether we're the little tiny ones sitting here or whether we're all the big ones sitting out. He is there, and even though at times when the road can be very, very rocky, he has a plan for each of our lives, and all we have to do is ask him to help us, and we need to follow his guidance in that. And I think now we're going to sing your song, and it's about all through history. And as I was thinking about this song, it just relates, you'd really think the plan that to go in with the story, wouldn't you? It really relates to the story. And all through history, it's talking about all through all the stories in the Bible, that God was there and God was faithful through it all. And this is our way of showing him thanks and saying thank you to him, because that same God who was faithful then is faithful to us now. So I'm going to get you to help me with the actions, all right?
Okay, boys and girls, you can go back to your mums and dads, and we're going to take up the offering at this point. Now, at this point in the service, we want to bring the story of Joseph to a climax. And so to help us to do that, I'm going to play another game. Now, this is not just for the boys and girls, this is for the adults as well. And so it's really called Guess the Item. And I'm going to show you a close-up photograph of a part of an item, and I want to see if you can guess what the item is. Okay? Now, we haven't got a whole lot of time, so quick. And here's the first one. Anybody, any thoughts of what that might be? Very good. Somebody got it right. It's a pencil. Well done. Here's the second one. A brush, yes. It's your toothbrush. That was an easy one. They start to get a little bit harder now. Oh, somebody got it first time. Robert, I knew you would be thinking of your stomach. It's an Oreo. That's exactly right. It's an Oreo biscuit. That's exactly right. Getting a little bit harder now. Yes, I heard some of you shout. Shout it. It's an apple. Look at that. It's the wee top bit of the apple. And here's the last one here. Can you get this one? A paper clip. I thought that was hard. I don't know if I've got it. Oh, I've got one more. One more. Nope. Nope. Here's what it is. A scarring pad. Now, you see, when you only saw a little part of it, It was hard to recognize, wasn't it? And it made your brains start turning over. And yet, once you saw the whole thing, it was so easy to recognize. And when we are living our daily lives, we only see a small part of them, don't we? We only see what's happening at that particular moment. We don't see the bigger picture, how things will turn out, what we might have to face in the future. That remains unknown to us. But in the story of Joseph, we are reminded that when our trust is in Jesus, that God has a plan for each of our lives. Now, we only see the bit that's happening at the moment, but God sees the whole thing. You remember that God gave Joseph two dreams, and those dreams said that Joseph was going to become a very important man, and Joseph felt very special when that happened. But he didn't really understand what that meant for him. What it meant for his life. And then when things started to happen to him, I'm sure he was very confused. Like when his brothers put him in a pit and then sold him to be a slave. He must have thought, well what's happened to my dream now? And why are my brothers so cruel? And why, if I pray, doesn't God come and help me? And I'm sure when Joseph was in making his way to Egypt, he had a lot of time on his hands, a lot of time to think. And he thought about some of the things that he had been taught by his father. And one of the things that he had been taught by his father was that you need to trust God in all circumstances. And so he decided to do that. And he became a slave in Potiphar's house, and he started to trust God, and he started to do well in Potiphar's house, and he became his chief steward, and then he ended up in prison for something that he didn't do. And I'm sure he was confused, and he said, well, why is God allowing this to happen? It just seems so unfair. But he kept trusting in God, and when he was in prison, it was really well thought of. And then the butler and the baker came into prison, and he interpreted their dreams, and he told the butler, tell Pharaoh about it. And the butler forgot. And Joseph must have thought to himself, I've been forgotten by people, and I've been forgotten by God. And his dreams didn't seem to make any sense at all. But that was because he couldn't see the big picture. And then he was released, and he became second in the land. And he was there to tell the Pharaoh that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And so Joseph was put in charge of all the food, and he gathered up food during the years of plenty. And when the years of famine came, he was able to save the people of Egypt. But not only the people of Egypt, because his own family came to him looking for food. And he was able to ensure that they would have food as well. And then he made himself known to his brothers, and his brothers, they must have been terrified. As Fiona said, they must have thought, is he gonna kill us? But you see, Joseph was able to look back and begin to understand the big picture. And he was able to forgive his brothers, and he was able to say something even more important. He's able to say to them, you know, what happened to me was God's doing, and God did it, so that I would be able to save you, my family. He saw the big picture. Now, we don't see the big picture very often in our lives. And there are many things that can happen to us that are hard to understand, that are hurtful, that might seem unfair, that are painful. And we have all kinds of questions when it comes to those moments. Where is God? What's he doing? Doesn't he care that this is happening to me? Why isn't he coming to my help? But the thing is that God sees the big picture when we don't. And what he's asking us to do is what Joseph did. It's to learn to trust Jesus in all circumstances. And in trusting him, we mightn't understand what's happening, but we know that he's working in our lives, that he's changing us, and he's preparing us so that he can use us to serve him and to bless other people. We all know the little saying, don't we? Life is lived forward and understood backwards. And perhaps some of you are facing challenging times. And you're asking those questions. Where is God? What's he doing? I don't understand. And you need to remember, first of all, that you don't see the big picture. But you need to do another thing. You need to look back. You need to look back to those times when you didn't understand in the past, and now you understand how God was at work in your life. And it's by looking back like that that you're given the strength to trust, even in the difficulties of times like these. And I think we can sum up the story of Joseph by some very, very famous verses in the Bible. They're known by many people and they're loved by many people. They're found in the book of Proverbs. And this is the lesson from this story. Book of Proverbs chapter 3, and it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And you know what will happen? He will direct your path. Let's join together to pray. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this amazing story of your work in this family and in this man's life. And we realize that at times in life, we can't see the big picture. There are many things that happen to us that are confusing, difficult to understand, painful. Sometimes we wonder, have you forgotten about us? But help us to learn from Joseph that we can trust you. And help us to trust with all our heart, to not lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways. And in so doing, to have that assurance that you will direct our path. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we stand to sing our closing hymn, a great hymn of praise, 10,000 reasons why we can praise him. And here is one of the reasons we've been thinking about in this story, his faithfulness to us. And so we can trust him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.